And I want to say a few things to you before I get started preaching here. And I want you to think on these things a little bit. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. I'm really not. I don't need that. What I want you to do is think, though. Okay? Think about for 1 minute doing what God has called me to do up here. I want you to think about it. And I want you to think about dealing with people. I want you to think about if you were to pastor people, how you would do it. If you were to get up in front of people and you were going to try to feed them the Word of God, week in and week out, standing in a day where most men are sitting down. I want you to think about contending for the faith week in and week out, and you doing that yourself. If you were the one doing it, everyone has an idea of how they would do it differently. You know, everyone does. There's always somebody always has a better idea of how they would do something, or that they would say something better, or they wouldn't say it like you did, or anything else. I don't deny that. You have to suffer me, just like I have to suffer you. Okay? You have to listen to an imperfect preacher, a imperfect communicator, trying to communicate a perfect message. Okay? You have to deal with someone that is a man just like you are, if you're a man, or a person just like you are, and I want you to think about the fact, like, if you had to do that, you know, and you were under this microscope all the time of, you know, maybe you think it's too harsh. You know, maybe you think I'm too harsh. Maybe you think I've heard that. Well, you know, you're too harsh. You know, or you don't say it nice enough. Or, you know, I could say it better than that. And I'm offended by the way that you say that. If you had to do that week in and week out, and as a pastor, the Bible says, and as an elder or a bishop, the Bible says to feed the flock of God which is among you. It does not say that your flock will always like the food that they're given. It doesn't say that you have the right to tell me what I can feed you. It doesn't say that you have the right or you have the moral high road to be critical of everything that is said. I'm not talking about doctrine here. Okay? I'm not talking about that. The Bible doesn't say that the flock is going to love what you say all the time. Because quite frankly, I don't love what I say all the time. Because I have to live by it. And the more you know, the harder it is. The more you learn, the harder it is. And the more truth you share, and the more you preach, the more people hate it. That's what I face. Now, I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. What I'm asking you to do is think. If you were in the same place, if you had to do the same thing, are you so confident that you would do it that much differently? Are you so confident that you would do it perfectly? Are you so confident to believe that you would not err sometimes? Are you so confident to believe that you would not say something you shouldn't say sometimes? Are you so confident to say that you would never get in the flesh sometimes? Are you so confident to say that you would not make any of the mistakes that you perceive are being made while still giving the truth week in and week out without withholding nothing back that was profitable unto you? You know, it's easy to point a finger and say things like that, but you're not the one who has to answer to God every day for what you preach. You know, you can go home, but you're not the one that has to give an account. You give an account for what God has placed you over, but I have to give an account for your soul. That's what God says. As they that must give an account. And it's not to be you're not to be grievous unto me either, because it's not profitable for you, the Bible says. I just wonder if you would allow your children the same bit of rebellion that you allow yourself. I know I don't. Do you? I can be rebellious to God, but I don't. I'll allow that in my life, but I won't allow my children to do it. I can be out of line with God, but I wouldn't allow my children to be out of line with me. If they do something wrong, then I have to deal with it, right? But we make excuses for ourselves, don't we? I just want you to think about it. I want you to think about. I also want you to think about the fact that sometimes you can believe that a sermon is crafted just for one person. See, there's a whole flock here. There's not just one person here. There's a whole bunch of persons here, okay? And I have to pastor all of them. And I have to tell the truth to all of them. And what God lays on my heart, that's what I do. But, you know, do you remember what Jesus said? I want you to think about this. Listen very closely to this, what Jesus said. Jesus, when he was standing before his apostle or his disciples, he said to them, he said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he dipped his. He said, "One of you will betray me tonight." Remember that? So he's preaching to all 12 of them, right? And he looks at all 12 of them, and what did he say to them? He said, "And one of you shall betray me tonight." Now, there was a leaning on the breast of Jesus. And who was it? John. And he laid his head on Jesus' breast. And what did he say to him? "Is it I, Lord?" And Peter said, "Is it I?" They all thought that they were the one that was going to betray him. They all thought that Christ's words were about them. They all thought that the preacher, Christ, standing before the congregation there, the 12 disciples, that he was pinpointing each one of them down. And the sermon must be about them. He must have picked them out, each one of them, and each one of them did that. Why? Because sometimes you and I, sometimes what we do when we hear preaching, we automatically think it's about us. That it's a personal thing and it has to be about us. It can't be a general message to everyone. It must be about us. It must be me. He must be picking on me. It must be about me and me alone. The whole sermon, he has a picture of me on the wall and he's preaching to me before he ever preaches the whole sermon. Are you listening? Because that is exactly what most people think. First of all, I don't have time to track down every one of your sins and try to preach to you personally, one-on-one, from a pulpit. Amen. Because there's other people that need to hear a sermon. Amen. It's for the whole body. And sometimes we apply things from a sermon to us that weren't even about us. They're not even meant to be about us. Sometimes a preacher will say something and he doesn't even know it's hitting something. He has no clue. But if the shoe fits, then wear it. Either that or repent of it and throw it away. One of the two. The point is, if you think it's always about you, then you have a problem. It could be what's being preached. That could be your problem. And maybe the Holy Ghost of God is trying to speak to your heart. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not Pastor Cooley that's doing it. Maybe it's the Holy Ghost that's doing it. And maybe there's a pricking of the heart taking place and you're ignoring it. Because you and I can do just like they did. Those apostles asked to those disciples, a couple of masses, hey, is it I, Lord? His own beloved apostle, John, disciple asked him, Lord, am I the one that's going to betray you? Is it me? Well, no, he was talking about Judas. Why did you think it was you? Well, because John knew he was a sinner. So all of it can affect us. I would be really concerned about somebody who listened to sermons and never thought it was about them. Wouldn't you? As you listen to sermons and they're preached to you, if none of it is ever about you, wouldn't that bother you? Wouldn't that be a cause of concern? If God is not speaking to me through sermons, if I'm not being agitated, convicted, or admonished by it, or edified by it, it would mean that I was dead. It would mean that there's something wrong with me. So, I mean, I'm just trying to get you to understand the principle here, and I'm going to be done here pretty soon and get into the sermon here, but I want you to understand something that if God reveals something to a preacher, is it his job to preach on or should he hide it? If you were to see someone that you believe would be going into error, would you preach against that error? Would you preach it or would you withhold it from them? Right. The question you have to ask yourself in any church or anything you do, is it the truth? I don't have to like it for it to be true. I don't have to like it. You know, brother, I don't even have to like it for it to help me. I really don't. I don't have to like it for it to help me. I don't. Sometimes I'm not going to like it. I just want you to think about it. And then remember, as you think about you being in that position, you're not in it. And you're not the one that has to answer for it. But you are to be the one that doesn't muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. You're to be that one that doesn't do that. You're to be the one that's the encouraging one, not the discouraging one. You're not to be the one that muzzles or attempts to muzzle the ox. Because, after all, the preacher is not the church's ox. He's God's ox. Remember that. And you're not to put the muzzle on him or attempt to. Because if you do, you might get bit. With this one anyway. You'll get bit. And by the way, that's not being mean. If you understood, turn to Exodus. You're already there. Exodus. If you understood how absolutely much that a preacher has to love you to share the truth with you always. If you just remotely understood that. Then you would learn to forbear some things. You would learn to overlook some things. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about if that person says something you don't like, or the way they say it, you don't like it. You'd learn to overlook that. It's called being mature. It's called maturity to overlook those things. It's called spiritual maturity. It's growing and overlooking some of the things that you don't like. Just like you have to do with your husband or wife when you get married. And you'll learn to do that. there might be some things that really that you don't like that your wife does or your husband does. But you learn to forbear them. You learn to put up with a few of them. And you learn to love them through it. Amen? And I guess that's what we as a church have to do. As a body, we have to do the same thing. We have to learn to forbear. Yeah. Exactly. Have it. Yeah. But, you know, I want you to think about that, because it's just like what we're talking about here. I want to talk to you about what happens to children when you and I make a covenant with the world. But a lot of preachers won't preach these kind of things to you. That doesn't make me any better. I'm just saying they don't. And it takes love for people. And I do love you, all of you, every single one of you. Even if you get mad at me, get upset with me, or don't like something I say, or the way I say it, I love you anyway. I don't, if you hate me, then it's one-sided. It's not two. Okay? I'm just telling you, if you hate me, it's your side. It's not mine. I don't feel that way. I don't. I don't. I don't have that. I don't have that in me to do that. So, I guess I'm just trying to warn you. If you only seen things through the way that I see them, that I'm on a wall screaming because things are about ready to happen in this world, and it's getting worse and worse, and I'm just trying to warn you. I'm trying to warn you to flee from that. I'm trying to warn you to protect your families. I'm trying to warn you to keep your family strong and to keep you from that wicked one. Because I know what's coming. And they're not always easy lessons, and they're not always pleasant to learn. But ask yourself this, is the lesson right? And then think, well, I have an imperfect communicator communicating a perfect message. And after all, what do you go to church for in the first place? What are you part of a body for in the first place? Is it to unite in the truth and in love? Exodus 34:12, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat at his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons to go whoring after their gods. You know, it's interesting to me what he does with this, what the Lord does with this when he instructs Moses here. What he says to Moses is, listen, if you don't destroy these things in your life and get them out of there when you go into that land, you and I are in Canaan right now. Okay? That's where we're at. This is the battlefield. That's where we're at. This is not a time of rest. No, we're not at rest. We're in war. And we're battling the giants of despair and everything else that's around us. That's what this is. This is a battlefield. Amen. It was a battle. How many giants did they have to slay, and how many tribes of giants, when they went through there, did they slay through Canaan? Amen. That's what this life is. That's what it's all about. It's about slaying giants, slaying those spiritual giants of despair and all those other giant sins that are in our life, and destroying their idols and breaking down. But what did he make the correlation of? He said in your own life, if you don't destroy them, then they're going to come back and they're going to affect your children. Your attitude, how you deal with people, how you accept truth, it all will impact and influence your children. All of it will. It'll affect your kids. Fathers and preachers must destroy false doctrine. They must. They have to. You and I have a responsibility to teach our families. We are to instruct them in truth and teach them against the error that is out there. We are to hate every false way. We are to make no covenant, or our children will suffer for it. We're to break everything down, destroy it all. When I see too much has went on in the churches of mingling things together, and we haven't had Hollywood and rock music and pop culture, and all those things have not been destroyed. There's been a double message that's been given. There's been two messages that have been given. There's been one in the pulpit sometimes, and that's not even given to the fullest. And then there's one at home that's given where, well, we just won't tell anybody what we watch, but we're watching pretty wicked stuff. And we can't be that way. And that's what happens. Oh, just don't talk about what we watch. We'll just not tell anybody. But we'll watch all this stuff. We just won't tell anybody we're watching it. It's private. It's sin is what it is. But you know what? We've all been guilty of it. We've all done it. We wouldn't talk about our entertainment because our entertainment's evil. And we don't want to share that with people of God because we know what we would be doing. And you and I have a responsibility to destroy it all. Don't let any of it into our family's life to pervert them. We're to break it all down first for our own spiritual profit and next as we teach others. If we don't, we'll make a covenant with the land and we'll go whoring after their gods. And that's exactly what's happened to God's people today. They've went a whoring after all these other things. It will lead to spiritual whoredom. That's why if rock music is bad, get it away from your home. If Hollywood is evil, then break down the movies, break down the wicked things and get rid of them. If it really is bad and you really believe it's bad, then get rid of it. Destroy it. Get it out of your life. Why? So your children understand the difference in the holy and the profane. That's why. So they get it. So it's crystal clear. So you don't have to look back at your life when your children are 20 years old and they're out doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Why? Because in your home, you didn't show the difference in the holy and the profane. You weren't clear. You had a compromised message there. And if that happens, it's by not getting rid of known sin where we are liable to come into agreement with it. If you don't get rid of known sin in your life, you're going to come into an agreement with it. And it's going to cause a whoring away from God. Isn't that what happens? Doesn't sin cool off your zeal? I've had people tell me in private conversations, what they've said to me is this. They've said, I can't preach like you do. And they said, the reason I can't is because I have sin in my life and I can't be that bold. I had a preacher tell me that. He said, I can't do it because I can't be that bold because I've compromised with my family. I've compromised in these areas and with this television and movies and rock music and everything. And I can't be bold. Why? You made a covenant with them, with the land. That's why. You made a covenant with the world. And now your children are watching movies that you know are wrong. And they're going to movies and watching things. And you're watching things that are wrong. And your children have boyfriends and everything else is going on. And all, why? Because you made a covenant with the girl, with the world. And you didn't smash down every idol. And you didn't break down their images. And you didn't destroy everything. You didn't separate the holy from the profane. You did it all. You let it mingle together. And it'll destroy your children. Bad movies, bad music, and bad company will lead us to error and betrayal to God. Because the world is going to continue its false worship. But you and I are not to go with it, but to stand opposed to it. We are not to accept the common trend of the day of half-naked people and all the other religions of the world mixed. We are to reject this gospel of lasciviousness that is out there. I don't want to profit with the world's false worship and go eat their sacrifice. I want to stay clean and pure and stay away from their garbage. I want to destroy those wicked works of darkness and make no covenant with them. No covenant whatsoever. No agreement. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Amen? If we disobey this command to make no covenant, our sons and our daughters will go whoring after their gods. They'll follow them into the world. Whatever world you let into your home, your children, they'll follow it. They'll follow that method or that way, and they'll use it. It'll be a snare unto them, like he said. I've seen this all too much today, that many children grow up in churches across the country and have went a whoring after the world. They have left the worship of God. They sit at the table of devils. Is it not because the wickedness of the world and the culture was not rejected and destroyed by the parents? Wasn't destroyed. Many were taught just wear these clothes to church, but when you go home, wear whatever you want. Just wear these clothes to church, but when you go home, you can wear whatever you want to wear. So then we only have a standard when we go to church. We put it on like a uniform, but then we go home and we dress provocatively and dress any way we want to. What does that do to people? Well, pretty soon they just get over it and they stop faking it. And when those girls turn 18, they turn into real whores. Truth. Amen. It's truth. And by the way, if you get mad at me for saying that, God says it like 10 times in this chapter, so just so you know. So get mad at him then, okay? Mom has two standards. You know, if mom has that two standards, one at church and one at home, those kids are going to go whoring after other gods. They're going to follow right into that world, and they're going to go into that world. That's where they're going. They're going to head right for it. Movies and Hollywood music of the world was not taught against, and these children, they went a-whoring after the world. Holiness and submission to Christ was not strongly preached, but a compromise with the world was constantly made. I do believe that music and movies have been the greatest snares of the Christian home to cause young people to go whoring after the world. Well, how? Well, if they're homeschooled and they go to church and they're reasonably going to be away from most of the wickedness of the world, reasonably speaking, of course. However, the one enemy that's within is the television, is movies, is music. And when those things aren't monitored, that takes the heart away from that young person. And it steals their heart away from God. And they will go a-whoring after other gods. That's what they will do. That's why that magic and movies and mystic stuff and all those other things need to be just broken down. Those are idols. Those are false worship. Those are false gods. They need to be destroyed. There's a difference, and make a difference in the holy and the profane. Make a difference. Get it right with God and get rid of it. Get it away from your children. These children were taught that, well, a few cuss words are not bad in a movie. It's okay. There's a few cuss words in it, but it's no big deal. Really? Well, do you care if they say a few cuss words? If your kids started cussing in front of you, would you get upset? What if they were just standing here in church and what you let them watch with a few cuss words in it, they just said it right here in the church house. Right there, they just started saying it. Would they be in trouble? Well, why? You're the one that needs to spank it. You're the one that let them listen to it. I'm not spanking you, but I'm just saying. That's... But you're the one that need, you and I are the ones that need the spankings, amen? We're the ones that let them listen to it. Amen! We taught them it was okay. No, we said it was bad, but we just put up with it. No, you said it was acceptable because you watched it and you laughed at it and you were entertained by it. Oh, a little bit of nudity, it's not that big of a deal. Really? Yeah, it is. It's a real big deal. Then, of course, the dress standards in movies that you allow your children to watch, if you let them watch those, were not the same as mom and dad claimed they believed. But we entertained ourselves with it, and now our children go whoring after the world. We wonder why we watch a bunch of movies with pop culture in it where they're not dressed right. But we say, well, we would never dress like that. We don't let them watch really bad stuff. Well, yeah, but would you dress like that? Would you let your daughter dress like that? Well, what if she walked out and was dressed like that? Would you be upset? Would you be mad if your daughter walked out and dressed like what you saw in that movie? Well, yeah, I would be. Well, you hypocrite. Why? You watched it, was entertained off of it. Why would it bother you if she's dressed like that? You said it was okay. You let her entertain herself on it. Do you see what I mean? We've made a covenant with the world when we do that. And the Bible says it's going to cause our children to go a-whoring after those other gods. So it's going to happen. How about the world's method of dating? If that's not completely denounced in biblical courtship and biblical headship of the home is not taught, guess what? Just like I seen this past week, this girl, she just took off. She grew up in a Baptist home, and she just took off and eloped. I know that because none of her pictures are with her parents of her wedding. They're all gone. It's just that man's. Now, in my opinion, the young man's a thief. Well, she wanted to get married. I don't care what she wanted. The young man's a thief. Because you can't, it's a father's right to give away his daughter. I don't care what the government says. I care what the Bible says. The father has that authority to give away that daughter. But you know what? That's what happens. And then they go a-whoring after. Why? Because you don't put that down. And you know one of the single things I've seen that is the prevailing trend through all that is the movies and the music. That's allowed. That's how the devil got his foot in the door. And kept it in the door. Another thing, not teaching the difference in the sexes and the boundaries that are to be there has caused feminism to rise and caused young men to go whoring after the gods of this world. Definitely. And feminism is so prevalent in fundamentalism today, it's sick. I was going to preach a sermon sometime on the feminism of fundamentalism. That's right. Because we've ignored the commands of God's worship, many of the young people have run to emerging churches. Don't you get it? Okay. You might get upset with the way the preacher says some things, okay? I understand that. But wouldn't you rather have a preacher that stood for this word and maybe made you upset and your children understood the difference in the holy and the profane instead of watching your 20-year-old kid go run over to the emergent church and get hooked up with that Antichrist garbage? Because that's what happens. And that's what's happening now. Where do you think the youth of all the Baptist churches go? Well, after they get done having Ding Dong Sunday and Susie Q Sunday, they jump over and go have dances in the emergent church, and Mark Driscoll teaches them fornication from the pulpit. He has a brewery inside the church. Well, now there's no question whether alcohol is cool. The church has a brewery. So what do they have? They preach on fornication, the marriage bed, and booze at the church house. Isn't that wonderful? Is that what you want? Is that the direction you'd like to go? What happened? Making a covenant with the land? Go whoring after other gods? And they go whoring after the world and they follow it. Because we've ignored those commands of God's worship, many young people have ran to the emergent church, bypassing any fundamental church, and now they're going a-whoring after the world. Fornication is rampant in the church, and eloping to get married. But when we don't obey, God's people suffer, and the children suffer greatly. God said very clearly, if you do not break down this false worship, then you'll make a covenant with the world, and you'll marry your children off to the world. You know how much that goes on today? How many kids? Can each one of you think of somebody you know that grew up in a church and married a lost person? Or married somebody that was unequally yoked? I can. Unequally yoked with the lost, and then some saved are not yoked with like-minded saved people. Oh, they're charismatic, or they go to that Pentecost, or that community church, or this church, or that church, so they're Christian, it's okay. No, doctrine matters. Doctrine matters. Doctrine is very important, and it matters. Fathers have married their children off, their daughters off to kids, not men. I've seen it. These kids would rather play video games and have their wife work for them than go out and work a job. Yeah. These kids do not follow God. I've seen some young ladies in their father's home shipped off to college or shipped off to work, only to be caught in fornication and in shame marry a man they have no real love for just to save face. God says if you don't hate every false way, you'll make a covenant with the world. And see, your children are what suffer. See, you might make it out, and you might not get into sin in your life. You might not get taken by the sin. Lot wasn't engaged in sin. The Bible never tells us that he was engaged in sin. But his wife was. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day, the Bible says. Lot was a righteous man. Lot wasn't caught up in the sin. But his wife was. And then his daughters ended up being caught in the most grievous sin in the world you could ever think of. Why? Because Lot made a covenant with those men, that's why. And his family suffered. He dwelled in the city and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And he made a covenant with them. And he agreed with them and he lived among them. And he acted, and he didn't choose, he didn't show between the holy and the profane to his daughters. And his daughters ended up marrying two Sodomites. Now they were espoused. So they left. But do you understand he was going to marry them off to those Sodomites? Why? Because he made a covenant with them. And God said that if you don't do this, God's principle in Scripture, if you don't do this, then your children are going to get taken. And the world is going to take them. And what do we have today? The same thing, the world has taken it. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen how a girl or a young man or a young girl will come into a church and they will steal the heart of that young person and take them away from God? They steal their heart and they take them away from God. And they leave and they don't come back. Or if they do, they come back with child out of wedlock. Yep, I've seen it so many times. I guess if I had to say anything about why I preach the way I do and what I do is because I understand the generation that's coming up behind me. And you know how hard it's been for me to find truth? Do you know the lessons I've had to learn and the things that God has taught me over the years? To look to this and not to everybody else or not to what a man says, but to try the spirits to see whether they're of God. How much harder is it going to be as apostasy grows greater in this country for our children to find the truth? If we're not already teaching it to them and being very clear about it to them. Make no covenant with the world. Your children will suffer for it. If you don't knock down these things of the world, if you don't get rid of all these things out of your life, if you don't get rid of all that sin out of your life, your children will pick up on that sin and they will run with it. And it will affect them. And it one day will cause them to go whoring after other gods. And they'll go whoring after this world. And that's exactly where we're at today and what we've seen. Father, thank you for your word and the clarity of it. Lord, none of us obey it like we should. Help us to. Lord, we're flawed men that try to preach a perfect book, a perfect message. Help us, Jesus, I pray. Help us with our families. Help us to grow and live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.